reading for this morning will be Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11. Jeremiah 25, 11. This whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. Always thankful for the opportunities we have to assemble together with one another on the Lord's Day to worship God in spirit and in truth, to certainly honor and worship the Creator of the universe and certainly our Savior as well. So thankful that you're here. So thankful for all those that help serve. Many times that's overlooked, but we're thankful for each and every one that steps up in those areas. In the Sunday evenings, we've been looking at Jeremiah, and there's just so much to Jeremiah. There's just a lesson that I wanted to slide to the morning, and the title of the lesson is, Who Are You Listening To? And certainly, as we reflect on the Old Testament, there are many individuals that listen to different people, and we're going to see here that, unfortunately, a lot of God's people are going to listen to a false prophet. They're going to listen to somebody who is not telling them what God would want them to hear. We're going to see that in Jeremiah chapter 28. To try to give us some of the historical perspective as best we can, but we remember that the children of Israel were in Egypt. And Moses leads them out with Aaron, and they cross the Red Sea, they go to Mount Sinai, they receive the Ten Commandments, and they're on their way to the Promised Land. The Promised Land. They get there, they send Joshua and Caleb in, and Joshua and Caleb say they can take the land. The other spies that go with them say, we can't take the land. And God says, okay, you can wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Everybody over 20 is going to die. And certainly that transpires. Moses gets to the edge of the promised land. He knows that he is not going to be able to go in because of his mistake at Kadesh, disobeying God's instructions on that occasion. And Joshua is going to take over leadership. And Moses gives a speech to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land. Which basically is, don't forget God. And they go in, and Joshua leads the way, and we have a system of judges for a period of years, the nation of Israel, God's people in the promised land. And then they ask for a king, and God gives them a king, King Saul. And then we have King David, and then King Solomon. After that, God's nation of people, they are going to split in half, into north and south. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom doesn't have a good king really to speak of, and they eventually will be taken into captivity by Assyria, and that has happened by this time. Jeremiah is speaking to the south, and he is talking right on the tail end of the south going into Babylon. And we see that in Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12, which is read for us, we see that Jeremiah is very clear that when Babylon comes, he's going to take the southern kingdom, and they're going to be in captivity for 70 years. Very clear message, very succinct message, and certainly he is trying to preach, he's trying to turn people's minds back to God, but it's unfortunate that God's people are morally corrupt and their worship is corrupt. And Jeremiah is doing the best he can, and he's on the tail end of the southern kingdom, and he knows Babylon's coming, and he says, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years, and he is trying to do the best he can. But Jeremiah's got his work cut out for him, because there's many people that are telling the people the exact opposite, or just a little bit better version of what Jeremiah's laying out. And what you have in Jeremiah chapter 28 is we have a gentleman who is going to tell the people a different message than what Jeremiah is saying. And that's where we're going to pick up and look at what's going on here. Jeremiah chapter 28, if you'll turn over there, that's where we're going to be spending most of our time. I'm going to read the first four verses, and we're going to see the falsehood as we compare it to Jeremiah chapter 25, where it says captivity for 70 years. It says, and it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet, who was from Gibeah, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years I will bring back to this place, all the vessels of the Lord's house. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Zedekiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. There, in the first four verses, we see that Hananiah is another prophet during Jeremiah's time. He's a false prophet, but that's the title that's kind of being given to him. He's a false prophet. And he is talking to the people that Jeremiah is talking to. And Jeremiah says, we need to get our act together. We need to repent. We need to turn back to God. And of course, God tells Jeremiah it's really too late. Jeremiah still preaches. God always gives an opportunity. But God knows it's too late for his people. They are too corrupted morally. They are not going to listen. They are corrupted in their worship. He knows they're not going to listen. But he wants Jeremiah to proclaim this message and try to turn people's hearts and certainly their minds. There's still a chance for the remnant. But we see Hananiah. Hananiah says, you know what? What Jeremiah's been saying to you about this 70 years sounds bad, doesn't it? It's only going to be 2 years. It's only going to be 2 years. And you know what? We're all going to come back after those 2 years. And he doesn't say it's going to be great, but he's trying to paint a little bit better picture than Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, 70 years, Babylon's going to come in, it's going to be brutal, it's going to be rough. And Hananiah says, it's only going to be 2 years. It's only going to be 2 years. See, we have a choice in this life who we're going to listen to. And the people during this time in the southern kingdom, they had a choice who they were going to listen to. They can listen to Jeremiah or they can listen to Hananiah. Both are men, but the question is which one's inspired? And Jeremiah is not going to be afraid to put this false prophet to the test. In fact, we're going to see that. He says, let's put him to the test. Let's put Hananiah to the test. And I think when he tells Hananiah that, Hananiah gets irritated. You know, in the world which we live, there are people that say things totally contrary to God's word. And that's the parallel that we have to draw. And back then, when the southern kingdom was about to go into captivity, Jeremiah is saying, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And then there's another gentleman, Hananiah, that says, it's only going to be 2. You have a choice who you're going to listen to. Now, one message might sound better than the other. One might be more pleasing to the ear, but the question is which is the truth? And we have to ask ourselves that as we go throughout our lives, are we listening to the messengers of truth? Are we listening to the Bible? Hananiah says, this is going to be 2 years. Who are you going to listen to? Who would you have listened to if you were back in that situation? You know, it's so sad that we see a very similar situation today. Is that many times people will turn away from the Bible and what the Bible says, and they will listen to false teachers because the message sounds better. You know, 2 years for 70 years, you know what? 2 years sounds a lot better. I might be able to get through this. I might be able to make it back home. You know, there's a lot of false teachers out there. There's a lot of false preachers out there. There's a lot of people that try to twist the scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Sorry, that is not correct. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, it talks about these false teachers that have great flowing words of emptiness. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, I believe, says that. May God be true and every man a liar. But these great flowing words of emptiness, there's a lot of speakers out there that are charismatic. There's a lot of speakers out there that will promise freedom. They will make these great promises. They'll have these great flowing words of emptiness. And they'll lead people away from what they should be hearing. And that's what Jeremiah is dealing with. He has Hananiah going behind him and saying, hey, it's only going to be 2 years. It's not going to be that bad. Jeremiah said in chapter 25, it's going to be 70 years. There are false teachers all around, and this was a problem back in Jeremiah's time, and it's a problem today, is we have to ask ourselves the question many times, who are we going to listen to? Because during this time, as the southern kingdom is kind of coming closer and closer to captivity, and Babylon coming in, they have a choice who they're going to listen to. And we have a choice today, who are we going to listen to? People love the lie. People love to hear the lie. In fact, we're going to see that most of the people really respond to Hananiah. Even though Hananiah is going to be disproven. Even though Hananiah is going to die. You know what? I think the people are still going to listen to that false message. You know, it's sad. But God always gives out hope and he wants his message to go out. But a lot of people like the lie. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says, those who exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. There's a lot of people that would rather take the 2 years over the 70 years. But the question is what is the truth? In the denominational and the religious world, there are so many things that you can hear. There's so many things that people want to hear. But the question is, are they the truth? I think 2 years does sound better than 70 years. I think it does sound better. But the question is it the truth or not? And that's the question that has to be asked when it comes to matters of religion, when it comes to us trying to follow God, is who are we going to listen to? Will we allow ourselves to be deceived by a lie? Because there's many lies out there, there's many false teachers out there, there's many Hananias out there that will sell a rosy picture. A picture that is better than what Jeremiah is preaching. Jeremiah says 70 years, Hananias says 2 years. You know, Paul gives Timothy, the young preacher, charge. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He says, preach the word. He says, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap upon themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's what Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. He gives them a charge, and he says, you know what? There's going to be false teachers. There's going to be people that they are going to go after their own desires. They're going to go after what they want to hear. They're not even going to hear the truth anymore. They're just going to hear fables. And that's what's going on here at the Southern Kingdom, is Jeremiah is saying 70 years. He says it's coming. It's going to be hard. Basically saying judgment's coming. And Hananiah says, well, it's not as bad as Jeremiah's saying. It's just not as bad. You know, we can be unified. And I know that's not a popular message today. I know that it's many that people underneath the inappropriate umbrella of Christianity, I'm talking about the denominational world, you know, there's many people that say we can't be unified. But we can be unified. We just have to decide who we're going to listen to. If we want to listen to false teachers, oh yeah, they'll take us off to the left, they'll take us off to the right, but if we decide to listen to the Bible and Jesus Christ, I believe we can all end up in the same place. We can all end up in the one church that the Bible talks about. I think we can be unified. That's what Jesus prayed for. He prayed for it in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, and me, and I and you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus prayed for unity. The only way we can be unified is if we listen to the same message. But there's going to be a lot of false teachers like Hananiah that says, hey, I've got another message for you. And you know what? It sounds better. It looks better. It might even be more appealing. But it's not the truth. Paul pleaded for unity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. There's only one way that can happen. It's all if we're listening to the same source. And that's God, and that's the Bible underneath the New Testament. Back in the Old Testament, they listened to the prophets. And you know what? There was a test for the prophets. When we look at Deuteronomy, there was a test for the prophets. And Jeremiah, here in just a moment, he's going to bring that to people's memory. He's going to say, you know how to test the prophets. He says, you got Hananiah, and you got Jeremiah. He says, there's a test for the prophets. He says, let's put them to the test. When it comes to the New Testament, when we're following the New Testament, we're supposed to be listening to Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be listening to His Word. We can be unified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. If we're divided, it's because we've decided to listen to different individuals. We have decided not to listen to God. We can be unified. We can be part of the one body. We can be part of the one church. We can be united behind Jesus Christ. But we have to listen to the same thing. And that was Paul's plea. He said, I don't want any divisions among you. He said, I want you to have the same mind and the same judgment. And I want you to be able to speak the same thing. But there's only one way that that can happen is if we're unified behind Jesus. There's many churches out there. There's many different beliefs out there. There's many false teachers out there that aren't following the Bible. They're not even listening to the Bible anymore. It's almost like they don't even pretend that the Bible's there. Just listen to what Hananiah has to say. It's perhaps a better message. It's perhaps a more appealing message. It's perhaps a softer message. It's perhaps better in different ways, but it's not the truth. And if it's not the truth, it should be cast aside. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. We have the lie detector. If you want, it's the entire word of God. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God as possible for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us the Bible that we can tell what we need to do to get to heaven, that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have our lie detector. We have our prophet test. If somebody is not teaching what's in the words of God, it's false. Then how many people run away from the Bible today? The Bible that's more accessible than it's ever been. The Bible that's on our phones, and we have every version on our phones. We have the lie detector, but when somebody starts speaking about the Bible, we don't ask them to get out their Bible. We don't ask them to get out and turn the pages. We don't ask them to pull the Bible verse on their phone. A lot of people just take it. Well, Hananiah said it. I guess it's true. That's what Hananiah said. We better go with it. You know what? A lot of people believe Hananiah. They believe his soft, watered-down message of just 2 years. They believed it. You know, the people in Jeremiah's time, they were not living right. They were not living right morally. They were not worshiping God in a way that he wanted to be worshipped. God didn't want to be worshipped in the ways that he is being worshipped through lip service and through just going through the motions. The people were not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they were just waiting for somebody to soften the message of Jeremiah. And Hananiah was their ticket. Hananiah had a softer message. Now, as we look at the people of that time, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 16 and 17, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, nor from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon me. I tell you, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16, 17, that's a powerful message. It's a powerful message that can relate to today, is what's being said is God says, don't listen to the words of the prophets. Why? Because they're not speaking the words of the Lord. Well, what are these false prophets talking about? What are they saying? It says, they make you worthless. They speak to you a vision of their own heart, nor from the mouth of God. They can continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. There's people running around Jeremiah's time. They have denied the morality of God. They have denied the worship of God. And you know what? There's false teachers that say, that's okay. You're at peace with God. You're okay. Isn't that what false teachers say to people today? You're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. We're worshiping God the way we want to worship Him. We're acting the way that we want to act. We're okay. God says, don't listen to those people. It says they speak a vision of their own hearts, not from the mouth of God. Jeremiah certainly had his work cut out for him as he was trying to impact these individuals' lives. These people wanted to hear the lie. Just tell me the lie so I can feel good. But that's deceitful. And certainly that's what's going on in Jeremiah's time. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 through 31. It says, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. The people love to hear the lie. They love to hear the false prophecy. They love to hear the false message. They love to hear that everyone's saved. They love to hear that everyone is going to heaven. They love to hear that any church is okay. They love to hear that any worship is okay. They love to hear that any conduct is okay. This is Jeremiah's time. And he's trying to make a difference. And he's got Hananiah going behind him and saying, no, it's not as bad as Jeremiah is saying. You got your choice. 2 years or 70 years. Which one are you going to pick? We've got a false message. And you know what? Jeremiah is going to call him out, and he's going to try to put him to a test. And I think as soon as he tries to call Hananiah out, I think Hananiah, although the Bible doesn't exactly say it, through his actions, I think he's frustrated and he's angry because Jeremiah calls him out. So let's continue on in the passage. We see that Hananiah is saying the exact opposite, or not the exact opposite, but a different message of what Jeremiah is saying. Definitely different, there's no doubt. 2 years versus 70 years. Picking up in verse 5 in Jeremiah chapter 28. It says, then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who have carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word I speak to you, hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, then the word of the prophet comes to pass, and the prophet will be known as one whom God has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 years. And the prophet Jeremiah went away. So we've got Hananiah. Hananiah is telling everybody he can tell, Jeremiah is wrong. It's not 70 years, it's 2 years. Then Jeremiah starts to confront him, and we see that Jeremiah says, amen. Well, why does he say amen? He's being sarcastic. A lot of God's prophets have been sarcastic. We can find it many places in Scripture. I know in the Tuesday class we've been looking at Amos. In Amos chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, come to Bethel and transgress, and Gilgal multiply transgression. Well, do we have a prophet of God telling people to sin more? No, he's being sarcastic. He's saying, oh, you're going to sin? Well, why don't you just come on down and just keep on sinning then? He's being sarcastic. And I think Jeremiah's being sarcastic here, as he knows that this is a false prophecy. He's saying, amen. But right after it, you see what he does. He challenges him. Verse 9. In verse 9, he says, as for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as the one whom the Lord has truly sent. Jeremiah says, okay, Hananiah has made a prophecy. He says 2 years. And you know what? If it's true, then it'll be true and he'll be proven to be a prophet. You know, you think of Deuteronomy. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 22, there was a test for prophets. You know what the test was? You had to have a perfect record. That was the test of a prophet in the Old Testament. A perfect record. Let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 22. I just want to read 21 and 22. It says, if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken? And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. The test for a prophet in the Old Testament is if they said something and it happened, then you're good. But if a prophet said something would happen and it did not happen, then they're not a prophet of God. They had to have a perfect record. Not like these people today who they've got 100 prophecies, but only 20% are right. You know, that's ridiculous. If you're going to be a prophet of God, you need to have every single thing. When you say this is from God, every single thing has to come to pass. Every single thing. So Jeremiah says, fine, we'll test Hananiah. We'll test Hananiah. Hananiah says 2 years. I say 70 years. We'll see how this plays out. But there's actually going to be a test before this. So don't think that Jeremiah is being unfair, because he's actually going to say Hananiah is going to die in the year. So Hananiah says 2 years. Jeremiah says 70 years. But Jeremiah is going to put another test over here. He says, hey, Hananiah is going to die. He's going to die in this year. So there's a very clear test that Jeremiah is laying forth. How does the false prophet feel about the test? I don't think he likes it. I think that Jeremiah had a yoke on him, and what does he do to this yoke? He takes it off and he breaks it. It seems like he's frustrated. It seems like he's angry. I don't think he wanted to be tested. I don't think he wanted anyone to call him out. But Jeremiah says, I'll call you out because I know you're not speaking for God. And you know what? When it comes to New Testament, we need to thus saith the Lord. Because we have a standard. We can't test people necessarily in the same way that they did in the Old Testament. But with the New Testament, we have something very powerful. We have the words of God right in front of us. If somebody says something that's not in the book, that's not according to the words of God, false prophet. We have a standard, Jesus' word. In John chapter 12, verse 48 and 49, Jesus says, he who rejects me and receives not my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. We're supposed to be listening to the words of the Son. Those are the ones that will judge us. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in the last days spoken to us by His Son. God speaks to all of us the same way today. Oh yes, in the past, God spoke to us through the prophets, and there is a test for the prophets. But today, God speaks to us all the same way through the inspired Word of God. The words of God that have been recorded for us by inspired men. And these words have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Hananiah is being tested, and I don't think he likes being tested. So they kind of have this confrontation. Hananiah throws the yoke off, he breaks it, and then Jeremiah is going to walk off. But Jeremiah has said what he needs to say. Jeremiah says, this is going to play out. This is going to play out because we have a test at hand. Is the 2 years or the 70 years going to be accurate? And then also, he's going to tell Hananiah, you're going to die within the year. Well, if Hananiah doesn't die within the year, that makes Jeremiah a false prophet. We need a standard. In the Old Testament, there was a standard. Is that prophets, if they were not saying what God, if they prophesied and didn't come true, they had to have a perfect record. When it comes to us underneath the New Testament, we need to have a perfect record in relation to be aligned with God's Word. Now, we're imperfect in many ways, but certainly God's Word is perfect. And it can lead us into unity if we'll just read it and accept it. But we need a standard. If I went to Lowe's and I said, I want 2 yards of this, and the person just starts pulling whatever material it is, and they say, I feel like that's 2 yards. I'm going to go, I feel like it's not. I feel like it's not. I mean, I could look at it and I could give it my best, you know, my best guess. But really, if they say it's 2 yards and I say it's not 2 yards, there's only one way to settle this, is that we need to get the standard so we can see what's right and wrong. And the standard when it comes to us as New Testament Christians is God's Word. It blows my mind that we have standards in everything in our society. We have a standard when it comes to gasoline at the gas station. They've got to sell you a gallon. They even have people that check to make sure that they're not cheating you. We have standards when it comes to gas, when it comes to measurements, when it comes to all these things. But all of a sudden, our society says there's no standard when it comes to religion. We know it to be true, don't we? People run around in the religious world, and what do they start to say? They start to say things that would never go in the physical world. Well, I feel like I'm selling you a gallon of gas. Well, I feel like I'm selling you a few yards of this. I feel like it. I feel like this. I think so. You know, that's my opinion. I kind of like it this way. I kind of like selling you less than what the standard says. We have a standard for a reason. In the Old Testament, they had a standard. In the New Testament, we have a standard. But the religion and today's society, it just blows my mind many times because we have self-made religion. A religion without a standard. A religion where you get to choose who you listen to. I'll listen to my preacher. I'll listen to whatever I want, but I won't listen to God. You know, has our religion got to that point? Has our Christianity got to that point that we don't even listen to God anymore? In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things that I say? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father is in heaven. Because many on that day will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, God knows our hearts. I think it's sad in the religious world, we think we can pull one over on God. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, God is not mocked. You think we can cheat on God and Him not know it? Do we think we can do that? That God wants us to conduct ourselves this way, and we cannot conduct ourselves that way, and we think we've got one over on God? Do we think that we can worship in a way that God is not being acceptable, and we think it's okay? Do we think we can listen to the Hananias of this world? There's all kinds of things floating around. Worship the way that you want to worship. Well, what does the Bible say? John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I don't know about you, but that word must sounds pretty strong to me. Seems like God's telling us exactly how we need to worship. We must worship in spirit and in truth, with the right attitude and in accordance with God's word. There's a lot of people that run around and say all kinds of things. Oh, there's lots of churches. Really? In Ephesians chapter 5, it says the bride of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it says the body is the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, it says there's one body. There's one body and one spirit, just as you're called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in all. In you all. There's a lot of people running around saying all kinds of things. Say a prayer and be saved. You know, some of our brethren in the South, they have a live TV program. I believe them to be our brethren. They have a live TV program, and they've had an outstanding, I don't know what you'd call it, request. They say, anyone that can show us the sinner's prayer in the Bible will give you $1,000. They've had a few people call in. I can say maybe made a difference in some people's lives, because you're not going to find the sinner's prayer in the Bible. What's happened is that Hananiah has come along and said, hey, sinner's prayer. You know, that's what you need to do to be saved. We can't find that in the New Testament scriptures. And if we can't find it, we shouldn't cling to it. There's a lot of people that run around and say baptism isn't important. Well, when I start doing a word study on baptism, I see it's for remission of sins. It can wash sins away. It can add us into the church. And that's the process. That's the Lord adds us to the church. But we see that baptism is part of that process there. Oh, baptism isn't important. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 says, baptism does now save us. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience to God. It's so important that we preach the word. It's so important because in the Old Testament, their test was, is this prophecy going to take place? And they could see whether it took place or not. Jeremiah says, Hananiah is going to die. If he doesn't die, Jeremiah is going to be a false prophet. Our test today is, how does it line up with God's Word? It is so important that we preach the Word. Just the truth. That's what people need to come in contact with. I don't think they're coming in contact with it anymore. They come in contact with false doctrine more than they come in contact with the truth. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have went out into the world. Wait, why do we need to test the Spirit? Because many false prophets have went out to the world. There's many Hananias out there that are trying to give a soft, watered-down type of message. What do we need to do? We need to test all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Test all things, hold fast to that which is good. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are we examining things with God's Word? You know what? I think Hananiah gets frustrated with Jeremiah because he gets challenged. He goes over to Jeremiah. He breaks this yoke. I think he gives kind of Jeremiah what for. He says, I'm not changing anything. Let's see how Jeremiah responds. He actually walks away. Verses 12 through 17. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Israel, Lord God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that you may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and you shall serve him. I have given him the beast of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. I tell you, it's like the test of a prophet. We got 2 years versus 70 years, but Jeremiah, he wants to speed up this process a little bit. Well, I think God wants to speed up the process. And God says, people are going to know that Hananiah is a false prophet. He's going to die within a year. You know how many people turned back to God after Hananiah died? I don't know, you read Jeremiah. I don't know if it's many. The false prophet died. The false prophet's been tested, and yet people still believe a lie. You know, that's a sad picture. And sometimes that happens in this life. You know, false teaching certainly will be punished. But you know what? False teaching dies when it's challenged. And you know what, brothers and sisters in Christ, is something I think we should think about. It doesn't mean that we have to be mean and we have to have a bad attitude. But false teaching dies when it's challenged, and that's what Jeremiah does. Jeremiah challenges false teaching. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. False teaching needs to be exposed. And Jeremiah is trying to do it here with the help of the Lord. Certainly all of it comes from the Lord. You know, you have to make some judgment calls in this life. You're going to have to make a judgment call on who you're going to listen to. Are you going to listen to God, or are you going to listen to man? You're going to have to make some judgment calls. The world doesn't like to say that. And John chapter 7 and verse 24, it says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, I know Matthew chapter 7 is a lot of times thrown, in a Christian faith, but right there it tells us we're supposed to judge in John chapter 7, verse 24. It says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, where it says judge not, what it's talking about is hypocritical judgment. But you know you're going to have to make some judgments in this life. Who are you going to listen to? Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do they gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. You know, we do have to make judgment calls in this life. We have to make judgment calls between right or wrong. It helps if you have a standard. It helps if you have a standard. We're not supposed to judge according to appearance. We're supposed to judge righteous judgment. And right here in Matthew chapter 7, it says we can be a fruit inspector. If I walk up to, well, this is what people say many times. People many times say, well, Kyle, you can't see my heart. You are 100% right. I can't see your heart, but I can see your fruit. You understand that? If I walk up to an orange tree and the orange tree tries to talk back to me, which probably won't, you know. But the orange tree talks back to me and says, I'm an orange tree. You can't see my heart. And you're right, I can't see your heart, but I can see there's apples all around you. I can see apples all around you. When you're an orange tree, you want to say you're an orange tree. You want to say that I can't see inside of you, but I see apples all around you. You're an apple tree. That's what you are. You can say you're an orange tree all you want, but I see that. We understand that, don't we? We have to make judgment calls in this life. How can we tell if a false prophet is a false prophet if they're not speaking the words of God? In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, and in all things God may be glorified. Understand this. You cannot run around and say you're a Christian and not expect people to look at your fruit from time to time and say, this doesn't match up. You can't be an orange tree and say, look at me, I'm an apple tree. Wait, you're an orange tree. You say you're an orange tree, but there's apples all around. I'm just looking at what you're producing. You can say you're an apple tree, you can say you're an orange tree, you can say whatever you want. I'm going to look at the fruit. And when I look at that fruit, I can make a judgment call on what's going on here. You know, you can make very powerful statements by your actions. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word. Does an apple tree have to tell me it's an apple tree? It doesn't have to say a word to me, does it? As a Christian, I'm not saying that we're not supposed to speak. We are supposed to speak. But you know what? People should know that I'm a Christian just by the way I conduct myself. They should be able to look at Kyle and say, I can see some things in Kyle that's different from the world. Now, I'm not saying I don't talk to people. I need to talk to people. That's part of being evangelistic. But people should be able to look at me, and they should see my actions, and they should say, you know what? Kyle acts like a Christian. There's a lot of people that are running around trying to take on the name of Christian that aren't anywhere close. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, by this we know that we know him. By this we know if we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We've got a tree that's lying about what it is. Who are you listening to? You listening to God or men? When it comes to the New Testament, that is so very important for us. Who are you listening to? When it comes to salvation, when it comes to the way to conduct your life, when it comes to the way to raising your family, when it comes to the way in the workplace, who do you look to? Are you listening to Hananiah? Hananiah will show you a good picture, but it's not the truth. Jeremiah will give you the truth, even though sometimes it's hard. Who are you listening to, God or men? You know, Jesus, when he's coming to the conclusion, he gives that great commission, Matthew chapter 28. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Will you listen to God? Will you become a New Testament Christian? Will you strive to listen to him all the days of your life and not the Hananias of this world? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can if you come, if you stand, as we sing.